Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you once again, be able to, for just a few moments, talk about some things that we find in God's Word. It's good to be with you. If you have your Bibles, look with me to Exodus, the 20th chapter. We've been doing a series on the Ten Commandments every couple of weeks or so, and we continue today with that series. Appreciate you being with us. I hope it's been a blessing for you so far. And it's always good when children of God can get together and praise God and worship God and be a part of that great group that does so. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments, and throughout the Ten Commandments, it's emphasized there are generally three basic relationships in our life. There's the relationship of God, that we have with God, and the relationship with others, that we have with others in many different ways. And then the third relationship is how we relate to ourselves. How we think about ourselves, how we see ourselves, and that's so very important as to how other people may see us. There's a lot going on many times in our thinking. And throughout the Ten Commandments, that's the specific that's being mentioned, isn't it? When you read down through there, like in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. And that you there, I think, is singular, if I'm not mistaken. In verse 4, you shall make for yourselves, shall not make for yourselves graven images. Or verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then when he gets to verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And he goes on to talk about you and your labor and your work. So he really is talking right to you. And how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to think about what he has said? How will you take that into your life? And those three are almost always a part of what is being taught in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, go over to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Jesus is there, is asked that question. Matthew 22, and we read down about verse 34, he asked him about the great commandments and the Ten Commandments. Matthew 22, and we read verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees that gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus does the same thing, doesn't he? I'm reading New King James, but it says, verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that really emphasizes the idea, doesn't it? What if we don't love ourselves? Well, that would create some problems, wouldn't it? And so when we talk about these commandments that he's given, he's not just giving to the nation of Israel, which he is. He's giving it to each individual, one of them. And as you and I read it, and as Paul said, the things written aforetime are written for our learning, that we can understand it. There's an application to it. Because so many people want to read this chapter right here in Matthew 22, which says, love your neighbor as yourself, and it take the word love and just make it mean anything they like. Love, just love people. Well, when you read the Bible, that's not what he was just saying. Just love people. He meant to be holy and righteous. And we'll talk about that further on. When we talk about three basic relationships, God and others and ourselves, it seems like when we get back to the family, that's exactly what we're dealing with. Verse 12 of Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He's still got all that you business going. And he's talking right to each individual one of these people. And in the family, it seems as though all three of these are combined. This idea of God and others and you. And that there's a lot of growing and understanding that has to take place. And basically, when we talk about your father and your mother, it's talking about your family. The idea that we recognize and begin to recognize father and mother, and then there will be maybe brothers and sisters, and then grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, and it begins to grow out. As you have heard many times before, knowing, I like this comment that someone had said, knowing who our family is tells us something about who we are. I mean, whether we like it or not, whether we like the situation we're in or not, knowing who our family is and being aware of those who make up this family, and I don't mean when you're 6 months old, but by the time you're 18, it has that effect. You have this thought of being sort of a compiling of all of those feelings and words and thoughts and incidences that happen in your life. You remember over in Luke, the 15th chapter, the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son leaves home and winds up in a hog pen. And when you read, thus somebody puts him to a hog pen to be feeding all of the hogs. Verse 16. Yeah, Luke 15, verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? He remembered. He thought about, he could think of who his father was and who he's not in the situation they were in. And maybe a lot of other thoughts. But he could remember things, a picture, a father who was on a faraway land, and who he was, and probably could think, what's Dad doing right now? And what am I doing here in a hog pen? That kind of thought I have in my mind. When we think of family, that it grows and it becomes a part of us that we have for the rest of our life. And I'm talking about something more than identity, although identity is important in all families. I'm talking about very powerful emotions, things that would move us to do and say. I'm talking about standards of the way we get through life and how we do things in life, personal truths, things that are right about us, birthdays and funerals and things of that nature. Family teaches us so much about so many things. It teaches us about respect. It teaches us about forgiveness. It teaches us about the idea of love, the definition of love, not just L-O-V-E, but what it's like in daily chores, skills, dreams. Everything about us becomes that which is of us. And it becomes us. Like somebody said, you know, you can choose your friends, you can choose your business, but you can't choose your family. And you are them and they are you. Whether we want to admit it or not, really to some degree, that's a description of us. So, yeah, there is a very important identity there that we need to recognize where we came from and who we are. But it's about place. It's about position. It's about nurturing and sacrifice, being able to encourage one another and to keep on keeping on. Wonders what happens though when we read a paper today and watch television. My, all you hear many times, all the newspapers and news programs want to put on is spousal abuse, and I mean murders and killings, or child molestation, or mistreatment of neighbors and elderly. You ever wonder what happened to family, love, and values? And the things that he's talking about here. But most interesting to me is that here's a situation where the God of heaven is telling them, remember your family. Remember who you are. Honor your family. And why would you have to tell them that? Wouldn't that just come naturally? No, not really. So 3,000 years ago or so, Moses recorded at the inspiration of the Lord, honor your father and your mother, how it will result in your life later on. We have the first four commandments, which are commandments about God and our thoughts about God, how we relate to Him and His whole picture that we have about Him. And then we have these final six commandments, which begin to talk about the here and now of us, our community, of the relationship we have with this community called family, and then this larger one. And right here in this pivotal point, fifth command, is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that whatever he's telling you to do here, honor your father and mother, it has something about how your life is going to go later on, which is what God reveals to them. As so many people have said before, you are what you are at home. I mean, you may be something different at work, or you may be something different down this church building. The preacher and the elders may not know about it, but you are what you are at home. I don't care about all your friends and all your pals and the life of the party and turning life itself into a party. We are what we are at home. And it's that very important. It is a relationship that we desperately need. And I am so sorry for those who can't have it or don't have it or they lose it. And I've told you before about Barbara and I. We had one of our nieces. Her parents were killed, and we took her. And that was one of her questions about what happened. And just bewildered, lost in the world. But in a family, we need this arrangement. And God's just saying, get in there. When he says, know your father and mother, he didn't say know them. He said, honor them. Get in there and be a part of it and be a part of this growth, because you're growing and changing every day. You may not realize that when you're 14, but when you're 45, you'll look back and see how much I've changed and how much I've grown. Because it's in a family that children learn so much. They learn by not just being instructed audibly, but being shown. This is how we do it. This is how we don't do it. Like over in Ephesians, Paul said, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. Nurture. This is how we do it. The admonition of the Lord, we don't do it this way. And that's most of life also. Children need to learn so many things. I guess, first of all, to learn in a family that they are just one of many in a family. And a six-month-old don't know that. But you would hope a 16-year-old would know that. But that is a family. That's just a collection and a grouping of people that we all relate to one another, and all of us are different. And children need to be impressed with some things they don't want to happen that they're going to have to deal with. That's a lie. People get sick. People have to go to work. People have to go to school. And that development is showing them this is the way life develops every year, every day, of people up and down the street. People have to go to the doctor. People have to learn things and be trained. People have to recognize that. And that's what children, I think, need so much of. They need to learn things they don't want to learn. but they're going to have to. Like hearing the word no might be one of the first ones they need to learn. And it's going to happen quite often in life. And to learn other things, again, by the life of the person who loves you enough to care for you and feed you and cuddle you when you're terrified. And that people we can't live without, who are the world to us, we're going to have to one day say goodbye to them. That's life. That's the family. That's the important part of it. And God wants people to get in there and grow. And every one of them is a different personality. He wants them to experience that for years and years. But in reality, as you read here in the 20th chapter of Exodus, in verse 12, he says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land. He's not talking to a 6-month-old infant. Probably not talking to a 5-year-old. He is saying, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land. Somebody that's old enough there to understand, especially teenagers, especially young adults, adults who receive this commandment, just like we were speaking a moment ago in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and Paul's talking right to the fathers. In verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not wrong to have children expected to obey their parents because there's so much they don't know. But then in verse 2, honor your father and your mother is what he quotes from the Old Testament, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. He actually takes that point and brings it to the New Testament to describe people of the church. And how so very important that is. Focus of the family is a focus upon maturing to the responsible treatment of everyone in that family, to who they are and what they are. And that Jesus many times, look with me over in Matthew 15. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, sometimes Jesus was as harsh as any time in some of his teachings. Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 1. And then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift to God. I haven't given it away. Can't help it. He said, that's not family. That's not what is about the family. And he really tears them up. Honor, the idea of elevating, the idea of esteeming highly, the idea of giving deference to. Leviticus 19, verse 13 says, you shall stand up before the gray head and the face of the old man, and you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. Not just learning who is it that brings home the food, but who I am and what I am related to this person and how I should conduct my life with regard to these other people. And that's so very important. Parents are a channel of God's gift. Proverbs 23rd chapter, verse 22. Solomon said, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. And even to strike a parent was a death penalty violation. Exodus 21. All of this makes this statement here in the 5th chapter, the 20th chapter, 20th chapter in verse 20, yeah, 12, about the family so vital for us to think about it. And it doesn't mean any of the others are less important. I mean, the very first one. you shall have no other gods. How important is that? And as he's mentioning these, he's talking about how we relate to one another and how we relate to God. The World Family Organization, which by no means is a conservative group, I think they're part of the United Nations group, but they did get something right when they made this statement. He said, the family is the basic unit of society, and as such should be strengthened and included in the process of development. After God created woman for Adam, and he brings Eve to Adam, he says, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's not the way we'd say it here in Texas. You know, we'd say, this is my flesh and blood. That's the way we would say it. But that's the point. That's the idea. I am this person, and they are the closest relations and associations that I have on this earth. They're my kinfolk. Look with me over in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, as Moses begins to rehearse the law, which is what Deuteronomy is, right before the children of Israel go over into the promised land, he's rehearsing the whole law. Actually, I think the whole book is, I think, five or six sermons that he preaches. But in Deuteronomy 4, and we look down at verse 9, again, this statement, only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Now, think of what he wants them to do and be. He says, I want you to remember, and I want you, yourself, and I, me, remember everything that you've experienced as you've wandered in the wilderness. And not only remember that, he goes on to say, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Verse 10, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days of the life they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Certainly, obviously, one of the most important things that God wanted of the children-adult mom-and-dad relationship was teach your children. That's exactly what you do. You teach by how you live. You teach by what you say. You teach a whole lot by what you are. And we can't get around that. And that's getting very close to this idea of just family again. David said in Psalms 133, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What a beautiful passage. That ought to be the definition of a family. But so many times it's not, is it? It might be the stresses and strains of life, or is that place where we can still be in unity and still love one another, support one another, disagree with one another when you have to and say so, but still do anything for them. And people down the road are not going to do that. And the amazing thing is that God or Jesus begins to describe Christians and his people in terms of being a family, and we all understand that, being brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians, the third chapter, verse 27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What you believe and what your conviction is makes you something. It leads you in a certain direction. And it's those things we've got to learn. You've got to learn them quick, too. Life comes at you pretty quick. Ephesians, the sixth chapter in verse 4. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There in that chapter, Ephesians, the third chapter, in verse 14 and 15. Paul writes, "And for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family. He describes the saints in terms of one large family. And if you're there with me over in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and you read down at verse 31, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Children have to be, and older children have to be, a part of a family. Because they're not as smart as they think they are, unfortunately. They don't know all the answers. They don't know all of the things. You just have to teach them basic rules. And sometimes they don't make a lot of sense to young people. You say, don't ever get into a car with somebody you don't know. You know, and when you get older, when you get to be 45, then you can do that, I guess, something. But still, you have to be careful. Some of those just basic, simple rules. And the others are that we must serve the Lord. And we must be people who strive to serve the Lord. I like Reubel Shelley. Reubel Shelley has a book out on the Ten Commandments. I thought it was a good book. One of the things he wrote, though, is that children who rebel and resist and ignore parents and their families forfeit a foundation of civility and maturity and spirituality. And that happens a lot, and I'm sorry for that. I mean, just the simple stuff of being how you're raised, and I don't know, maybe it's just our society. We're to the point where we eat so much pizza and tacos and hamburgers that some young people today don't know how to handle a fork and a spoon or a knife. And that may just be, that may just be manners. But then some of them you might think, were they raised in a barn? The idea of having a respect for themselves that allow them to have respect for other people. Being a part of a family that loves the Lord, a family that loves them, is about learning about trials and difficulties of life. Life. And I guess that's one of the things we need to talk about just today. Man, you just, of what's happening in our society with people and the difficulties that they are having. And a long time ago, it used to be, you know, the hippies back in the 60s and all that kind of stuff. They said, if it feels good, do it, which was a horrible thing to tell people. But today almost, it's like, if it hurts, stop it. Whatever it takes. If it takes drugs, stop it. And that's where the warning bells are to go off again. You know, ding, 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 ding. We need to get across the idea, life is hard. It is tough. This is a sinful world. People die. 7,000 Americans die every day for 1,000 different reasons. It's not always fun. Everybody has some trouble in life. I don't care if you're a Hollywood movie star, you have problems and difficulties. I don't care if you're a billionaire, you have problems and difficulties. You could be the Queen of England, and she had problems that were just, I don't think you and I could face up to them many times. The greatest athletes that we have tremendous trouble and problems. Life is about dealing with these difficulties. In fact, as you read the New Testament, for Christians, you recognize there is a holiness or a sacredness in understanding the sufferings of life. It's not something we need to check out of life about. It is about carrying a shoulder and a responsibility in our life. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Over in 2 Corinthians 12. And he prayed to the Lord to remove it. And the Lord, in his essence, said, no. And you just said, wow. Actually, what he said is, my grace is sufficient for you. You can serve me and magnify my cause with the problems that you have today. And as a result, Paul changed his whole mind about it. I will bear this cross if I have to. I will live this way if I need to. And throughout the Bible, we understand that's the way saints have been. Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap what? Shall reap in joy. We sing a song. I believe we got a song like that in our book. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, life is tough. There are problems. There are heartaches. There is trouble. How do we feel about it? Well, we may not like it, but let's serve the Lord. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, fight the good fight of faith. Turn over there with me, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Look at a few verses before that because he's giving warnings about our attitude toward being rich. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, let's see, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So many young people can't see the idea that I can just become successful. If I just have the biggest house and the fastest car and the most money and all that, I'll be hitting. No, you won't. You're going to have heartaches and problems, difficulties. You need to face it and deal with it and serve the Lord in doing it and accomplish the will of the Lord despite what's going on in your life. Whether it's the death of a dear loved one or developing some problems later on in life. And that's what he's getting at. And so we continue into verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Americans in our society, we praise this idea of doing and accomplishing. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But it's so much more important in being. Peter said, 1 Peter 1, verse 15, be ye holy. And why? Next verse, for I am holy. That's the first thing we got, because this life passes away quickly. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, you look at verses, down at about verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You've taken the wrong turn someplace. You've got your eyes set on something that's not going to bless you in your life. It's going to lead you further and further away from the very source of blessings. It'll lead you away from God. Let us remember, honor father and mother. It's that important. Because he says that your days may be long in the land. We've often heard it said before, as goes the family, so goes the nation. It leaves us to be afraid of what's happening in our society. But those of us who love the Lord, we have to recall, reconsider, and study again these things about honor mother and father. Honor the family because of who they are and because of who you are. Now, we've said enough. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, I extend to you heaven's invitation that if you have the faith enough in Jesus Christ, you're willing to confess Him before this crowd, we'd be more than happy to baptize you into Christ. But maybe you might be a child of God and you haven't lived as you should. You desire the prayers of the brethren. We'd be more than happy to go to God's throne on your behalf. If you're subject this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing?